Hey Potters, welcome to CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay! Episode 232!
There it is, yay!
Woohoo! We're getting up there, man.
We are getting up there. Eventually we'll be 300. What are we going to talk about at that point?
We'll figure that out when we hit 300. That's still another year. It's actually more than a year.
It's going to take some time.
Away.
Because it took, what, 9 years to get to 200? Is that right?
Ish.
9 years-ish.
See, we'll have a ton to catch up on because basically the last year and a half, we haven't really done much in cosplay. So then the year more or less from now, since they opted to lift the mask mandate, like from now, everybody's just going to do frantic catching up. So it's going to be like a cosplay packed year now.
I have so much that I want to work on, and I still can't work on it yet.
Dole.
But reasons and things and such. So do we want to go ahead and roll into our cosplay
updates? I was going to say, speaking of, what have you been working on?
So I had this brilliant idea because the plumbers still have not returned to finish the job yet. And I was like, you know what? I'm tired of this and I really want to work on something. So I dove into my closet to start pulling out things. And literally 20 minutes later, we got the call of, hey, we're going to go ahead and schedule to finish up the plumbing stuff. So I didn't get really a chance to do anything other than more cleaning. So I went through and I did some inventory because I bought a bunch of appliques that I'm going to be working and using on one of my costumes. And I kind of wanted to show some of them off because I haven't had really an opportunity to do so. But it's cool appliques that I have found on Etsy. None of them are iron-on. They are all sewn appliques. And my plan is to kind of cut them all apart and jigsaw them together to make some really nifty stuff on the fabric. So it's going to be kind of cool. I haven't quite decided what it's going to look like altogether yet, but I know once I get into the groove of it and it makes sense, I'll start pinning it down and then going crazy on my machine, making it all happen. It'll be great. So I took inventory of that. And then I went through my craft cabinet and gone into Marie Kondo mode. In insane measures, threw away a bunch of old paint that had expired and separated, even though it had only been a year since I last threw away paint because it had been that long. I was like, let's just get rid of it. This is the first time where it's like my top drawer, which has all of my sewing machine supplies and accessories and my scissors. It's all nice and neatly organized. I can access everything. They're in little boxes so I can easily pull out the right item. I can see everything. So I'm not having to dig through the drawer to try to find stuff. It was very nice and pleasant, and it's so comforting to have such an organized craft cabinet. It's just so pleasant. And I'm hoping to keep continuing this. Being able to access your supplies is a really big deal, guys. You have no clue. So, yeah, this is what I've been doing for the last 2 weeks.
Especially when you have as many supplies as we do.
Oh man, I have so many. And I'm happy that a couple of weeks ago when the plumbing thing first started that I did go ahead and just get rid of a bunch of fabric. I was like, I'm not using this, not using this, not using this. Because now I have so much more storage space that I'm properly putting things in such a way that it's easy for me to grab it. And easy for me to put it back without messing up the organization. I seriously went full Marie Kondo unintentionally. But it's working out really well.
Perhaps for those who don't know who Marie Kondo is, you'd like to kind of give a short disclaimer.
I figure most people probably do at this point because she became such a meme on the internet. So Marie Kondo is basically an organization expert. She comes from Japan and she had a show on Netflix where she went to a couple of houses here in the States and helped people with their decluttering. And her whole thing is about sparking joy. You know, you keep the things in your life that make you happy. You get rid of the things that you've like, you know what, my time with you is done. I think I'm ready to move on and get my life back in order. And the great thing about her is now that I've actually seen the show, because that was what I was watching like 2 weeks ago and what sparked all of this, is I like the fact that she doesn't shame people for having so much stuff. Her thing is, you know, you're having this in your home for a reason. It's because you treasured it, you know, but now you want to move on and you recognize you have too much clutter. So make sure that you focus your attention on the pieces in your life that you really, really enjoy, because the memories will always be there, even if you don't have the physical object. And that's really nice. And she's just very thoughtful of people's items. You know, she takes the time to like talk to people and be like, hey, you know, what is this thing you like? Why do you like it? Why do you want to keep it? How can we showcase it in a way that makes you enjoy it more? And through that process, people are actually able to let go of more things because they're not being shamed for having so much stuff. So it's like the exact opposite of Hoarders. It's a much nicer, calmer show, which is very, very relaxing. So yeah, that's Marie Kondo. Very, very sweet. Those are my updates. I actually showed things. Yay! I don't know when that's gonna happen again.
I'm actually wearing one of my updates, and I'm going to take them out because every time I nod my head, they crack into my headphones. Which doesn't bother me, I just don't want it to mess up the audio. There we go.
Yay.
So I finished two of my hair sticks. These are from the bamboo skewers that you guys saw last time, and of course they have dangling feathers because I like dangling feathers.
They jingle.
They do jingle, actually. Not all feathers do. It depends on the material that they're made of. If they're more kind of plastic based, then they don't. But these actually have some metal to them and some weight, which is nice. And they surprisingly took a dark walnut stain really well for being bamboo skewers. I will say, for the viewers, because safety first, please make sure if you're going to use a Dremel on bamboo sticks that you are wearing safety goggles.
What did you
Because
do?
tiny, well, I didn't do anything, thankfully, because I wear glasses. But if I hadn't worn glasses, it might have been a different story. But small pieces of bamboo do tend to go flying when you're using a sanding drum. And they're flying at a great speed. So it just stinks for a second when you get hit in the face with bamboo shards. Now, I was wearing safety goggles. So I'm not saying this as a funny Amber story. I'm saying this as I did it right. I want you all to also do it right. So do wear safety goggles. And yes, I was also wearing a mask because I didn't really want to breathe in wood particles as I was sanding because I had to sand off the tips so that they're not quite so sharp. They're still a little bit, but just enough to go through a bun so that it separates the hair. I took the tip off. So that was one of the things that I did, and I actually have all of the other sticks. I just haven't assembled them yet. Surprisingly, as much as Turbo Tacky Glue advertises, oh, it only takes 15 minutes to dry, it actually takes a bit more than that.
Yeah, I think for that it's more of it sets within 15, but it's not like hard coded, ready to be used in 15. You need to let it settle.
Yeah. So I had to let them sit for 36 hours just to be extra safe.
Yeah.
And thread spools, sewing thread spools are fantastic for sticking bamboo sticks into and letting them dry. So I had a whole row of spools going across my desk with a bamboo stick that was dripping stain in each one as it dried. But the other thing that I worked on is this. You
Yay.
guys have seen the pieces of the wand before, but you haven't actually seen the wand assembled. And this is the wand for my Sky Sorceress. It still needs a little bit of work. I'm working on hiding the seams because I did not do a great job when I assembled this, since the original foam pieces that I had cut were for a dowel. It was not for a PVC pipe, but I found my other PVC pipe. And this is much more sturdy than what I had MacGyvered together. So my foam was no longer the right size, even though I'd already painted it.
It's fine.
It's fine. So this is again where Amber is also trying to use a Prestash because I have, you know, random nuts and bolts around. So I just wrapped it in foam and it now works as a plug for the bottom of my wand because that way I can just pop out the plug. And of course, because this is an Amber prop, what does it have to do? It has to light up.
Has to light up. Of course it does.
So I have a lit
Woo!
component.
That is hella bright outside of it.
I stick it in there. And then I just stick the plug back into it. And I have a nice piece of foam so you can actually see it light up.
Which is really cool. It's got this nice blue glow to it almost. But it may also be the camera.
It's a little of both. It's actually bright white.
Okay.
But this is actually the really bad resin cast that I made that you guys may remember from a few shows ago. I didn't want to just throw it out. So
of course not.
I decided to use it in my wand and make it light up because it just looks cool. And it really does actually look kind of cool.
It looks cool.
Yeah, so since I won't be going to TRF this year, I opted to wait one more year, especially with the lifting of the mask mandate and the variant still going around. I didn't feel safe. So I'm going to wait one more year, which gives me time to finish my props.
Yay!
So that I will have a much improved costume when I go to TRF next year. And now the thing I've been trying to figure out with this guy, or gal, I guess my wand doesn't really have a gender, is how to holster it.
Oh.
Because I don't want to have to carry it around everywhere. I'd like to have it where not quite like a sword because the wings on this are hot glued on. There's not really a better way to attach them, I'll be honest. And I don't want to put too much upward pressure by putting it in a holster because that's just going to put pressure on the wings and it may break them off.
Mm-hmm.
So I was Googling. Make sure safe search is on. I was Googling wand holsters.
Mm-hmm.
And most of what I found is for Harry Potter.
That sounds about right.
Which is perfectly fine and good. The only problem is that Harry Potter wands don't have protrusions. They're very straight dowels.
Well, straight. Not all of them are.
In other words, it doesn't have wings on it.
They basically stick without like stuff sticking out of it.
Right, right. They don't have any fancy accoutrement like this. So the holsters that they have won't work for this. Because I don't want to put pressure on the wings. So I'm racking my brain, and that's going to be the next thing that I work on or to figure out is how do I build a custom holster for this or some sort of holder so that I can just kind of stick it down at my side but not have it break. It is still a little bit on the delicate side. Like, I'm pretty sure this would snap off if I looked at it wrong. I used high-temp hot glue, so it's as fused as I can make it. Even if I would have epoxied it, there's still a good chance that it could break off just because it's resin.
Mm-hmm.
Resin does that when you put enough pressure on it, especially in this form. So I will figure something out. I just have to figure out what.
Right.
And they had actually some really cool wand holsters. There were some bandolier style.
Yeah.
That went across the chest that... they look pretty darn cool.
There's some really neat concepts for holding your Harry Potter wand. Because obviously, after a while, just holding the stick around, you're like, okay, I'm done. I need my free hand. Where do I put this? There's no pockets.
Yeah. Plus, they're made for dueling photos.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's just like dueling with a sword.
Mm-hmm.
Same kind of thing. So I thought that was really cool. They've got some really neat concepts.
Yeah.
So I may borrow a little bit of A, a little bit of B, and see what I can do with it for this guy. But this is why I make modular things, is because now I can service the light components if I need to, like, change batteries, change the LED, whatever. And it has a switch built into it, so I don't have to build a switch. But I did learn how to wire 3-prong switches. I taught myself. So level up in electronic skills for Amber. I have not had to use my soldering iron yet.
In due time.
But I will. Yeah, I will. I was working on this, and this did not require... whoop! This did not require a soldering iron. Yet. However, the other one I'm working on does. Because it's the one that's going to use the 3-prong switch.
Nice.
I just haven't had a chance to go to the hardware store and get electrical wire yet.
Mm-hmm.
Conductive thread is great, don't get me wrong. I have plenty of conductive thread. It's just not quite strong enough for what I need. Because I bought high-power LEDs. Because I'm Amber. Of course I buy high-powered LEDs.
Everything's got to light up and it's got to have the shinies. You're going to get the high-powered stuff. Of course you are.
For TRF, yes. I do, and that's it has to light up more because there are no lights at TRF after dark. There are no street lights. There. Now I hear Journey in my head. Thank you. there are no lights around. It is pitch dark. So when you walk back to your campsite after dark, you either carry a flashlight or you risk tripping over something in the road.
Right.
So I wanted to build a cool flashlight. So yes, it does have to light up strongly.
We understand how this works.
I like doing things like this, and it's not difficult. It just takes a little bit of patience. And then I like showing other people how to do it too.
Really, that's all it is. A lot of it is just patience and time. And sometimes I don't have the patience or the time.
Well, it's good to be willing to try things. Because if you don't try it, you don't know if it will work. And sometimes when you try things, you find an amazing idea that people just aren't doing in the cosplay community right now, and maybe they should, because it's awesome.
It is awesome.
And if you don't have, the time or the resources to be willing to experiment with things like this, then you are always welcome to pay someone else to do it. There's no shame in doing that.
Yeah,
This
buddy.
is why we have things like Etsy, so you can commission someone else to do it
Do it
for
for
you.
you. It's
Nothing wrong
great.
with that. I look on Etsy all the time.
Totally Etsy. I do not have the sanity or the patience to do all this.
Yeah, and if the other person does it as a day job, if they make embroidery pieces as a day job, they're probably really good at it.
Oh yeah, I mean that's why I bought
Yeah.
these.
I'd have no problem paying for it because it's good quality.
It's very nice quality. I was happy to pay for it instead of spending 3 years making it. My time is a little bit more
Yeah.
valuable than that.
Having a day job is fun. We make
Yay.
money for cosplay. We
When you
make
have
money so we
time.
can spend it on cosplay.
Yeah, when you have time to actually like work on it, that
Yes.
is.
Also true. Sometimes you sacrifice sleep.
Very true.
All right, shall we get on to today's topic?
Yes, I'm ready to roll whenever you are's.
Would you like to introduce this?
Well, I don't know if it's I should introduce this. You should be the one to introduce this. This is yours. This is yours. This is
Yeah.
your shindig.
The reason I say that is because in the description we have painting, except that I never painted it. I
Oh.
imprinted it.
Oh. Okay, well, I think that makes it even more
Yes.
interesting.
All good. So you guys heard me talk last episode briefly about my escapades with aluminum foil and foam, and of course, heat, because everything I do has to have the risk of fire, so that you could actually see in real time me attempting to make foam look like leather and what not to do. Because, yes, I actually did find some things that you really shouldn't do when you're attempting to do this. So, enjoy! I will be attempting today to not do what I do best, which is setting things on fire. And I know that's something you guys all eventually want to see me do, but hopefully not today. So what I've got set up here, you guys saw me talk about last episode, being able to make foam look like leather. And there are multiple tutorials for these on the internet, and so I wanted to show you guys what it looks like and maybe what to do and what not to do in the case of mistakes, which of course happen when you're doing learning with cosplay, which is perfectly fine as long as nobody gets hurt and nothing gets burned down. So, what I wanted to do is experiment with not only different iron settings, but different thicknesses of foam, because I noticed that most of the tutorials I've seen online don't necessarily mention like what thickness of foam you're supposed to use or how different levels of heat might impact the texturizing of the foam. And of course, foam. This is actually 3 millimeter here. You can see this is actually fairly thick. It's not 6 millimeter. 6 millimeter is what a lot of people use to make armor, and that's going to be a lot thicker. That may or may not take the imprint as well, just because of the thickness of the foam and the heat having to penetrate all the way through it to be able to get the texture to stick. Because that's part of what actually makes the texture stick, is the heat making the foam malleable. Now with the foil, I've got standard aluminum foil here. Nothing fancy, nothing special. This is actually just bargain brand stuff. I haven't taken it and molded it into a ball really tightly to make a really detailed, very wrinkled texture, because one of the tips that I saw online is that the less you wrinkle it, the more natural of leather it looks. So I wanted to try it with just a little bit of wrinkling first, nothing too major, and then I will go ahead and try it later on with more texturing. So I'll actually crinkle this up a little bit more later on. All right, so we've got 3 millimeter foam here. We've got hot iron right here. So what I'm going to do first is I'm going to heat the foam up just a little bit first so that the surface is nice and warm. Then I'm going to put the foil on top of it, and then I'm going to press it with the iron, not slide it. The difference between just ironing something, which is actually moving the iron like this, and pressing, which is only going up and down like this, there's no side-to-side movement. And the reason for that is that you would actually potentially move the wrinkles that are in the foil, and you would move them on the foam so that they won't look crisp and clean. It'll actually kind of make it look a little bit more muddled. And so that's why you press instead of actually ironing. But to get the foam nice and warm, I am gonna go ahead and iron this. So I'm just gonna take it. Right now my iron is at a silk setting, so this is actually the lowest possible setting I have on my iron. So I'm gonna take it. It does not slide well across foam, so I just kinda have to press a little bit. And now that I'm holding it down with my hand, I can kind of slide it. All right, so now that the surface is a little bit warmer, it's still not so warm that I can't put my hand on it though. And the foam does change colors as it heats up, so you can easily tell where you've been with the iron and where you haven't. So now that I've warmed up the surface just a little bit, I'm going to take the foil, set it down. Now, as I'm doing this, I'm going to give you a fair warning. The foil's going to get very hot very quickly, so you probably don't want to be laying your hand on it the way that I just laid my hand on the foam to show you guys that it's not really all that hot, because you will potentially burn yourself even at this low of a setting on the iron. And part of that is because foil is very conductive in terms of heat and cold. This is why we use it to insulate food. And so it will carry the heat of the iron much, much better than the foam does. The foam will just kind of absorb it. And you may or may not be able to see, but as I'm pressing the iron on the aluminum foil, I'm actually, unfortunately, making more wrinkles, which is not quite what I wanted to do, but that's part of the learning process, and that's what I want you guys to see instead of just the polished product that you're going to get online when you see the tutorials. So I'm going to set the iron down for just a moment. I have not pressed for very long, as you saw in the video. And the foil, I'm gently lifting and the foam's actually coming with it. So there is a sort of sticking effect with the foil to the foam. I don't know if that's intentional. It may be that the tiny little folds of the aluminum foil are actually being pushed into tiny little folds that are formed in the foam. But I'm going to try and peel this. You can see right there, it's actually stuck. There is no adhesive. This is not adhesive foam. So I'm going to gently and carefully peel. And you can kind of see the texturing there in the light. There are quite a few. And if I feel it, it still feels, for the most part, smooth. There are a couple sharper indentations that I imagine are the sharper indentations here in the foil, but most of this is not very sharp. It doesn't feel particularly any different. It still feels very much like foam. It feels a little bit smooth right now, and you can see that the texture is a little bit almost pebbled and shiny right now, and that's due to the heat. Basically, what I've done with the iron by putting heat to this is I have sealed or heat treated the foam, and this happens naturally with pretty much any kind of foam that you apply heat to. This will also happen if you do it with a heat gun. So you've not only put texture to it, but you've also somewhat sealed the foam, which may or not be what you were looking for.
So the next step I would take after this, if I wanted it to look a little bit more like leather, is I would take paint to it. And depending on the color of leather, you would get different shades of that color so that you can do highlights and lowlights with some of these deeper markings here, with some of the deeper folds, to make it look a little bit more realistic. Because right now, let's face it, this does not look very much like leather. Now, with that, I did tell you guys that I wanted to do a little bit of experimenting, both on the thickness of the foam, the texturing in the foil, as well as the amount of heat applied to see if it made any sort of difference. So, this being the 3mm foam, what I want to do is repeat this on 2mm foam and see if it actually takes a greater amount of texture because the foam is thinner. So I'm going to set the 3mm aside, and I've got a few strips here of 2mm foam. And right now the sheet is cool, so I can lay my hands on it. But again, be very careful once you have set the iron to it, because it will get very hot. I have not changed the heat setting, still set on silk. So I'm going to press, and I'm putting a pretty moderate amount of pressure on it. I'm not like pushing really hard with body weight onto it. And I can already see that the foam underneath is sticking to the aluminum foil again. I don't know, it may actually be a heat thing, but I also know from experience that whenever you apply heat to foam, the edges tend to curl up really quickly. And I know that that's part of the structure of the foam that breaks down slightly and causes it to kind of bend upward as the cells in the foam are expanding and contracting with the addition of heat in certain places. So I think the edges of these strips here are trying to bend upward, and they are taking the aluminum foil with it. All right, so I've done a set of presses, both forward and back, with the iron on the lowest setting. I'm gonna go ahead, and as you can see, strips stuck to the aluminum foil again. So I'm going to have to peel these off. You can see in the reflection that this actually took the texturing really well. Now, it's not any deeper, as I'm brushing my fingers across it, it's not any deeper than the 3mm. So it doesn't look like having it being 2mm versus 3mm makes very much of a difference at all. The longer strips seem to have a better feel as far as the texture goes. These actually feel a little bit more textured like leather, as opposed to the shorter one. So that may have just been a mistake on my part. So it seems that the width or the depth of the foam doesn't really make too much of a difference in terms of getting the texture onto the foam. So the two other things that I wanted to try here, I will go ahead and do on the 3mm foam. So the two things I wanted to try were application of more heat. So I'm going to turn this around and use the other side. I'm not going to wrinkle this up any more than it already is. I'm going to set this down here, and I'm actually going to warm my iron up to the cotton setting. And that's actually, at least as far as this particular iron is concerned, about twice as hot as the silk setting. So I'm going to give that just a brief moment to warm up. So I'm going to go ahead and give this a good set of presses. And the smell is definitely stronger because the iron is hotter. And we're going to see if having a hotter iron using the same technique actually results in a deeper, or we'll say clearer, leather texture on the foam. And for those who are still in school, this is actually using something called the scientific method, which involves making a theory, in which case, or in this particular case, is that more heat will produce a better texture, and then we are testing that to see if it turns out to be true. So it is still stuck again, so I'm going to gently tug here, like so. There we go. You can see this one is still textured, but it actually doesn't look as textured. Oh, never mind. There we go. It may have just been either the application of pressure or the lack of wrinkling in the aluminum foil in this particular section. But as I'm moving over to this side right here, underneath my thumb, there's actually a pretty deep texturing, and you can definitely feel it with your fingers, and you can, of course, see it there with the reflection in the light in the foam. And it is definitely deeper here than it was when I first started out over here, and you can see the edges of the foam are curling, like I said, with the application of heat. But it does look like having more heat actually sets the texture more deeply. I would not recommend, from experience, going any higher on your iron than the cotton setting when using foam, and that's simply so that you don't burn or fuse the foam. It seems like the cotton setting is actually plenty good enough to be able to get the texturing onto your foam. So what I will do for the last test, which is to wrinkle this up more and see if it still looks realistic, is I'm going to turn this piece of foam over so that I can use the other side. So cover your ears, this is a headphone warning, as I am about to crinkle this and make a bunch of noise. I feel like I am performing stress release here now with my little aluminum foil ball. So I'm not quite sure how realistic this is going to look in terms of making something resemble leather, and I am carefully pulling this apart because ideally I don't want to have any tears in it that I don't have to have. And when you wrinkle it to this extent, it's actually a little bit harder to pull apart and flatten. Alright, so I've got this mostly flattened out. And I know that I have a tear here, and that's okay. You can see this is much, much more textured here. So I'm going to, since this side was not pre-warmed, I'm going to go ahead and press this quickly because I have a higher heat setting on right now. It's higher than silk, so I shouldn't have to apply as much heat to warm up the surface. So now I'm going to go ahead and take this here and apply heat. And again, I am putting a moderate amount of pressure on it. I'm not putting my whole body weight or anything like that on it. And my iron is continuing to maintain its temperature, so you may hear clicks in the background as it warms up periodically, as it loses its heat, which is all sinking right now into the aluminum foil. And I'm finding that I do have to put a bit more pressure than I did with the first iteration of the aluminum foil, simply because with all of the folds and texturing that's in it now, it actually appears thicker. It's a little bit more compact, and so for me to be able to get the iron into it, I need to actually apply a little bit more pressure. It's not a lot. All right, so I've done some good pressing there. All right, the foam still stuck to the aluminum foil. So let's go ahead and peel, like so. All right. So this is what it looks like with the texturing. That does not look like leather at all. In fact, I'm not entirely sure what this foam looks like. I'm not sure what texture this would really be useful for. Maybe if you were going for something on another planet or out of another world. Something that specifically is not meant to look like foam, or for that matter, organic. So that would certainly work, but I think we have definitely proved that particular tip to be true, that you may not want to wrinkle up or manipulate your foil too much so that it's like this, if you want it to look realistic like leather, because let's face it, this does not look like leather, as opposed to, actually, we'll use this side because that's a little bit easier to see some of the texturing on. This one actually looks a little bit more like leather. This has been Amber's foam tutorial class, so you guys have been able to see me attempt to make foam look like leather.
And we're back! Please note, I did not light anything on fire.
No fire trucks. Yay!
Not this time. Surprisingly, there will actually not be any fire for me this year because I'm not doing TRF, which means no fire poi.
Oh, that's kind of sad. Aw.
It just gives me more time to practice for next year.
Exactly.
That's generally the only time that I voluntarily play with fire. Any other time, it was totally unintended.
It's on accident and you learn from it.
I have to be safe with my craft because my crafting table really does sit directly under not only the smoke detector, but also the carbon monoxide detector now, because they put one into my apartment. Which means I really have to be safe. I can't even make pancakes anymore because it's so freaking sensitive.
That's insane.
So anytime I have to mess with something that might ignite fire, which includes my soldering iron, I have to go outside. And this is Texas. It's been raining for the last week. So taking my soldering iron outside was not an option.
That's unfortunate.
And in fact, it's supposed to rain for the next week as well.
Yeah.
Starting Sunday, which means if I'm going to use my soldering iron, it's going to be tomorrow or wait a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll probably end up waiting a week. Because we're going to get a freak storm as soon as I go outside.
Exactly.
And I also need
it's that time of year.
Instructions. They did not send instructions with the Minty Boost.
Aw, oops.
So I have to go find instructions for the Minty Boost so I know what to solder. But I do also want to look for silver solder so that I can work with jewelry.
Nice.
Because I found, at least in the making of the hairpins or the hair sticks,
mm-hmm.
that jump rings are great.
Yes.
However, if you put enough force on them, they will open up.
They will open.
At the most inopportune time. And then it falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that happen a couple of times with the bracelets that I made. Just because they get caught on my clothing.
Right.
Like a stray thread or something, and it yanks the jump ring open, and then my bracelet just falls off.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be able to solder those end rings shut. Which is really common to do. You just have to have silver solder instead of tin solder.
Mm-hmm. Adventures in crafting.
I love making stuff, and I have no problem experimenting.
That's awesome. That's a good, healthy thing to have.
Yes. And also not lighting things on fire.
That helps too.
Yes. So hopefully I will have other hair sticks to show you guys. In fact, when you saw me looking down earlier, it's because I'm cutting out tiny, tiny foam pieces because,
of course, this is what I do.
I get a lot of ideas online, and it's like, oh, that looks really cool. Now I want to make that, except I want to tweak it and do it this way.
Yeah, you always tweak it.
It's the same thing that cosplayers do when they see really cool designs online. It's like, oh, this looks really cool, but I want to do it like this. Like, I want to make a steampunk version of that character. I want to make a Victorian version. I want to make a Lolita version of that character. I'm doing the same thing. Just I do it with accessories instead of cosplay because I don't have that kind of creativity that I can just take a character style and make it in a completely different style because I'm an engineer.
Yeah.
I can take it apart and put it back together exactly as I see it. But if you ask me to do it differently, you're going to have to give me a different picture.
Whereas
so that I can reverse that with.
That's the area that I've been going more into is just taking a character and then redesigning it into a completely new format and just having fun with it. Because I've done it a couple times now and I really, really like it. So I'm doing more of it.
Which, with movie theaters opening back up, I am hoping that we will have more fodder for cosplay ideas.
I'm sure we will.
Especially with all the MCU movies that have been announced that are coming on down the line.
And all the Disney Plus shows affiliated with it.
That too. There's just been a ton of stuff that's been announced recently. Not much coming out just because everything's been straight to home.
Mm-hmm.
Streaming. There hasn't been much in the theaters, but now that the theaters are open, I'm hoping that we'll get more of like concept pictures and stuff. Because at some point, I need a superhero costume. Eventually.
Eventually. Superhero costumes are fun.
Yes. And I also have something for the after session.
Cool.
Speaking of since we haven't mentioned it yet, I noticed that Simplicity and McCall started putting out cosplay.
Well, of course you did, because you're the only one that like checks that stuff.
That goes through commercial patterns. Yes,
because I don't do that.
But that means Halloween is coming up soon.
Yeah, it's coming up real soon.
So, of course, if you would like to discuss with us what costumes you would love to see Nick Cage in, or Kevin Bacon, or any of the other guys we've talked about on the show, because, hey, it's time for pattern and Halloween costume sewing season to start, please let us know via any of our social media, which, of course, you can find here.
If you're watching us, everything is underneath Amber, underneath Over the Corner, that way. If you're listening to us on any of your favorite audio podcasts, you can visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, or on YouTube and Twitter at cospodcast.
Or if you'd like to email us your responses, you can email us at podcast@cospod.org, where you'll get an answer from both of us. Otherwise, please stay healthy, stay safe out there, please get the vaccination if you can, so that we can all be back together again as soon as possible at your favorite local convention in cosplay. Otherwise, we will wish you guys happy cosplaying. See you next episode. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.